where did the idea for Forge Hydrocarbons come from?
Well, the origins probably go back to my graduate studies and some of the topics we study there in the Faculty of Science. But primarily it started in 2003 when we started looking at agricultural waste streams in the province and how we could generate the most value out of them. Some of the trips to the rendering industry identified that there were some low value fats and oils that were very close to hydrocarbon fuels, and we tried to seek out a way to convert one to the other.
So what would be the similarities?
Well, a fat or an oil like you'd find even butter itself chemically is very close to a hydrocarbon fuel that we look at, except that it has an acid group on the end of the molecule. So we just constructively looked at a way of using high temperature and high pressure to more or less break off that acid group, leaving the hydrocarbon tail left behind.
Now, you've come up with a special technology in order to turn the fats that come from the rendering industry into fuel that could be used in the car. It took you quite a long time to get there. Tell me a bit about the journey.
Well, again, biodiesel is a bio-based fuel that's been around for a couple decades using some of these same materials, but has always required a clean feedstock. And you end up with a product that isn't quite compatible with the gasoline and diesel, primarily diesel fuel that the industry uses. So over the last more or less, 14 years, it starts off with very basic discovery research, right out of NSERC kind of funded simple experiments, showing chemical proof of concept that we could get the reactions we want to happen under the right conditions, high temperature and high pressure. And then from that, there was a period of 3 or 4 years doing scaled up applied research, optimization, moving a little bit bigger scale to kind of a 1 liter per hour scale. And then from that, some major fundraising to get up to the pilot plant scale where we're at currently, which is approximately about 20 liters an hour, 200,000 liters, and licensing of the technology. You know, we patented the technologies, licensed it through Tech Edmonton, our tech transfer office, and then found entrepreneur Tim Hegg, who took it and formed Forge Hydrocarbons, and then went out and raised some real strategic investment behind the company.
Now, a lot of people have been working in this area. What makes your technology or your discovery, your invention, unique?
Well, it has some major advantages over some of the historical technology. I mentioned biodiesel earlier, that's more, they cap the acid group at the end to try and make it compatible. Some of the newer incumbent technologies that are out in the market right now are more of a petrochemical approach, which is you use hydrogen and a catalyst. Again, you need a fairly clean feedstock, oil or fat. You add hydrogen and catalyst and try and make it into a hydrocarbon that way. That approach works. You get to a final hydrocarbon that's a true diesel or a true gasoline molecule. The problem is it's fairly expensive. The carbon footprint, because you're using natural gas to generate the hydrogen you need, isn't as good, etc. The technology we adopted really has roots and is similar to some of the coking technologies that's used in the bitumen upgrading world here in Alberta. So the Syncrude, Suncor kind of technologies. And because it's a high temperature, high pressure process, the secret is it also doesn't require catalyst or hydrogen. So it allows us to use much dirtier, much less valuable feedstocks, which creates a better market opportunity as we convert it to hydrocarbons. It also means the chemistry we're doing, well, if you want to call it chemistry, is more like cooking than it is a chemical reaction. And some of the solvents and other co-products we're targeting have a unique status with, for example, the cosmetics industry, having not had a reagent or a catalyst added to them.
So where do your fats actually come from?
Well, right now we have a lot of relationships with the rendering industry. We've looked at tall oil, which is the basically tree oil coming out of the pulp and paper industry. So we can go from those things to the brown and yellow greases, so spent restaurant grease collected, etc. Because we can handle those dirty feedstocks, we can go to much kind of more impure forms. We have tested against algal. That's kind of the biomass area right now that's getting a lot of interest globally, being able to grow algae on either sunlight or trapping CO2. And we're able to convert lipids no matter where they come from at this point.
So what stage are you at now?
Well, where we are with the technology is working with Forge Hydrocarbons and the university in a supporting role. We've been very fortunate getting funding, as I said, for the pilot plant from historical places like the Alberta Livestock and Meat Agency, Western Economic Diversification. So we've kind of completed those campaigns and a lot of the programming from Alberta Innovates. Where we are now, though, is we've secured a $4.2 million investment from Sustainable Development Technologies Canada, or STDC, and closed on some strategic investment a couple of years ago. Where we are right now is planning, getting close to the engineering and design of the first, basically, demonstration pre-commercial scale facility over the next year or so.
How many barrels a day could you be producing?
In barrels, I'm not quite sure. I haven't done the calculation off the top of my head, but we're probably in, you know, the 20, 30 million liter a year scale as a demonstration in kind of that ballpark.
And how much would you have to produce once you're commercialized in order to make it worthwhile economically?
Well, we think actually even at the demo scale, it will be a profitable operation is where the projections are at. So we're pretty excited about that. And that's with existing government policy and carbon tax. If something else comes down the road as being planned, it'll just make it better. The technology, because it doesn't require oxygen or hydrogen like some of the other renewable technologies, we don't have to get to the massive economies of scale to make individual plants economically competitive. That's not saying you couldn't build a bigger plant and kind of daisy chain a bunch of units together, but we're pretty comfortable we'll be in a good place. Even at the demo scale.
You were saying you wouldn't have to have it on a large scale. So what kind of scale are you talking about?
Well, I think for commercial installation, you're still going to be in the tens of millions of liters just to make it make sense and shipping and storage and have enough volume to be able to do supply contracts, that kind of stuff. But as I said, the pilot plant working here at 20 liters per hour is running pretty efficiently. So we're pretty excited about that right now.
So how do you get it from the plant into the car?
Well, the product coming out of the plant in the first pass, the way to think about it would be a mixture of gasoline and diesel fuel together. So it's nothing different than the current industry does to distill the two components apart. So it would require just a simple distillation, giving you gasoline and diesel cuts. Those cuts coming off our plant would be chemically identical to hydrocarbon fuels, the gasoline, the diesel, and they can be blended at any ratio. And what we're doing right now is just tweaking the final properties to meet all the specs which we have so far. So it's directly a compatible hydrocarbon equivalent. So again, that's a big advantage over biodiesel or ethanol, which have always had blending requirements and ratios involved.
What would be the environmental benefits of using this sort of fuel?
Well, this type of fuel, especially if we can use the low-value lipids that are byproduct streams of the agriculture forestry space, gives you some big advantages. One is the technology itself doesn't have a large carbon footprint. We're not using hydrogen, so we're not using natural gas to make the hydrogen, so we're not releasing CO2 through that mechanism. The CO2 that we would release from processing this facility is just that acid group at the end of each molecule. Again, that normally would have gone out to a car and been burnt and released all over the place. In our case, it'll be released at a single site source, which could be trapped and sequestered if you wanted to take that approach to it, or used for food grade applications, depending on the oil. So we've got a much better carbon footprint than pretty much any other technology I'm aware of out there right now.
So if you weren't collecting these fats from the rendering industry and restaurants and that sort of thing, what would happen to them otherwise?
Well, there's different fates in every industry. So in the forestry space right now, the fats and oils are going directly into the, basically their cogen. So they're using it for combined heat and power, which is some value, but it's not the value of producing, for example, gasoline or diesel fuel that might offset some of the vehicle fleet requirements for the actual industry. In the city, it's a problem right now. The fats and oils going down the drain in many cases are collecting in the pipeline systems. They're clogging up. They're an issue to deal with. Some of them, parts of them might end up in anaerobic digesters where you're getting value, maybe making some methane for a biogas facility. That's kind of the top end of what you'd expect out of some of that. Some people are collecting it. They're trying to upgrade them and clean them up and then hopefully making biodiesel is a couple of examples out there. But again, I think we have a much better option.
What's next for you?
Well, where we are right now, as I mentioned earlier, is the technology is moving to the kind of the next commercial phase right now. In my role, I work in supporting the company kind of on the advisory side. Here at the university, we keep working on refining the technology. So we've got, in addition to the first patent that's globally awarded in most jurisdictions, we have two other families of patents we've developing and refining the process. And what we're working on right now is getting more co-product streams out of the process, adding more value, turning it into almost a little refinery or biorefinery instead of just focusing on the fuel. That's on my side, the research side, and then we feed our insights into the company.
What might those be?
Well, some of them are simply getting higher yields out of the process. Some of it's engineering design of the reactors themselves. We have looked at some co-product streams we might be able to pull out in terms of solvents and particularly some short chain acids even in some cases. So this is kind of just the template and the starting point for hopefully several other product lines.
Thank you very much, David.
You're welcome. Thank you.